Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, world leaders at the United Nations are not subject to the Key to NYC New York vaccine mandates. Why would that be? Wouldn't you think that the world leaders would want to do their very best to lead the way? Isn't that what a leader is supposed to do? New York City is one of the very first places in the entire United States that issued a very and highly restrictive COVID vaccine mandate and vaccinations and vaccination passports. New York City was one of the very first places in the entire country to do that. And now, as world leaders are getting ready to gather at the United Nations, turns out they are not subject to the New York vaccine mandates. As the controversy over COVID-19 vaccine mandates continue to rage around the world, and the interesting thing is, it's happening right now in the halls of global power. World leaders coming to New York for a big meeting at the United Nations, not subject to vaccine mandates or passports. In Washington, the entire Nancy Pelosi Congress and all of their staff and all of their workers, they are exempt from Joe Biden's vaccine mandates. Starting to see a pattern here. And then in a seemingly unrelated story over on Twitter, there is a hashtag that's getting a lot of use right now. Hashtag pure blood. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of Nazi. It's kind of Q, if you ask me. Daniel chapter 10 and chapter 12 says this: "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, things are beginning to heat up as people have accepted the fact that the world has radically changed and it's never going to go back to the way it was. Powerful and shadowy global power brokers are right now positioning themselves to be the new ruling class in this brave new world that looks like it was plucked from the pages of any one of a number of 20th century dystopian novels about the future. We have now arrived at that future. And it's not the writings of 1984 or A Brave New World or The Time Machine that you need to be worried about. You need to be worried about the writing that's contained in the scripture of truth found inside your King James Holy Bible. Each phase that the New World Order has attempted thus far has been successful. Today we're going to break it all down for you and tell you what likely is going to come next. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you, Father God. You woke us up today and you put food on our plates and you put a roof over our head and you put clothes on our back, and we're grateful. We're praying for Sarah and Greg and Melissa Price to get saved in Pennsylvania. We're praying for Deborah Schuler, who's having invasive eye surgery next week. And she wants a lot of prayer. There is a possibility she could lose sight in one or more eyes. We're praying for Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Hal, needing a lung transplant, but they're trying to force him to take the vaccine. Ann Reed, still in the hospital with COVID. Steve Markovich, in the hospital with COVID. We're praying for Clayton Perry to be healed from cancer. Jesse Spurlock, terminal cancer with a brain bleed. And we just pray that the Lord show him mercy and grace and give him comfort. Ron Wooten is asking for healing from COVID. Shayla Clark says her husband Glenn needs to get saved. We're praying for Pastor Danny and Pastor John Ree in the Philippines and Pastor Fong in Vietnam. And we're going to ask the Lord for a hedge of protection about Now the End Begins and everybody here who ministers, Lori and Jeanette and Harmon and myself and everybody else involved in getting this program off the ground each and every day. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you and we praise you. We lift up these prayer requests and we ask you to work and move in a mighty way as only you can. As only you can. And Lord, hundreds of people in the chat room and thousands of people listening. And we just pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. Lord, hear our prayers, hear our praise, and lead and guide as only you can. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here for the program today. We got a lot to talk about. There is so much going on. And it looks like everywhere that I see across the board, people have settled in. People have settled into the idea that the New World Order is in control now, overtly in control. And yes, people are pushing back and there's pockets of resistance, no question about it. But by and large, the world has signed off on this radical change. There was a huge uproar about the Emmys last week. Some of you know that I used to be in the acting business. I was a member of the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of TV and Radio Artists, and I've done TV commercials and movies. I've been on shows. But I got saved, and the Lord pulled me out of all that junk, and I gave up my Screen Actors Guild membership card. That's really hard to get. Your Screen Actors Guild card is a very valued item. If you're in the acting business, that's like having the Willy Wonka golden ticket. And I got saved and I gave mine up voluntarily. And I haven't missed it for a single day. So I don't really watch the award shows anymore. I haven't seen the Oscars or the Emmys. The only time that I'll tune in is when it looks like it's going to be something related to the New World Order. You remember Lady Gaga? She did something last year. Let me see if I can find the article. Lady Gaga did something last year and she looked exactly. If you've ever seen that chick track called The Last Generation. And it's about the New World Order. It's about people in the time of the tribulation. After the rapture. And let's see, I found the article. It's dated April 16th of 2020. And Lady Gaga dressed herself up stunningly like the illustration from a chick track. So when I see stuff like that, I'm always going to tune in because it relates to Bible prophecy. And last year, Lady Gaga did a One World Together at Home Global Citizen Concert, sponsored in part by the World Health Organization. And so whenever I see something like that, I'm always going to tune in, and I'm going to report on it. I'm going to tell you about it through the filter of the King James Bible. And I wrote as one of the headlines from the article, when a group calling themselves Global Citizen wants to bring you a One World Together at Home concert, that's headlined by a New Age Illuminati Satanist like Lady Gaga, it's not just the end times, it's the end of times. And when you have time, go back and read that article. And we report on all these things. We are coming up. We've been doing this for 12 years now. And we're coming up on 10,000 articles. It's going to be a couple of months yet. But we are coming up on 10,000 articles related to the end times that we have done since we started back in 2009. And we do our very, very best to bring you information that's really going to help you to discern the times that you find yourself in. And so we give you news from a biblical perspective. So what do you make of the fact the United Nations, they're getting ready for their big meeting next week. And they're not required to get vaccinated. They're not required to follow any mandates. They're not required to do anything. And there's 196 different countries that are represented in the United Nations. And they're going to come and they don't have to be scanned. They don't have to have their temperature taken. They don't have to show proof of a COVID vaccine. They don't have to show a negative COVID vaccine test. And so what you're starting to see is that the world is being divided by class. If you remember in school, they used to talk about European class warfare. And I used to work with a lot of people from India. And India absolutely has what they call the caste system. C-A-S-T-E system. And it puts the rich people on one level, and it puts the poor people on another level. And it's kind of like that great gulf that's fixed in Luke chapter 16 between Lazarus, who was comforted in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man on the other side who was burning in everlasting torment. And Lazarus is crying out to Father Abraham. Just turn to Luke chapter 16 for a second, because this really has a lot of bearing on what I'm about to tell you about the United Nations. Luke chapter 16. We all know the story. Let's just pick it up in 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So here we see in eternity, in Abraham's bosom, we see that there's a great gulf between those who are saved and those who are lost. Well, I want you to keep that on one side of your brain. And then on the other side of your brain, I want you to remember that on August 17th, we reported Bill de Blasio saying to you that the key to New York City, he calls it the key to NYC, sends a powerful message that vaccination will unlock our city's potential, and we will stop at nothing to save lives and to keep New Yorkers safe. Kind of interesting, right? Well, here's some of the things that you need to have the vaccination passport to unlock in New York City. Movie theaters, concert halls, museums, galleries, aquariums, zoos, sports arenas, indoor stadiums, convention centers. Huh. The United Nations building in downtown Manhattan is absolutely an arena. It is absolutely a convention center. They are getting ready to convene next week. And Bill de Blasio, back in August, he made a great show out of telling you, if you don't have your vaccine passport, you can't go to movie theaters, concert halls, museums, aquariums, sports arenas, indoor stadiums, convention centers, exhibition halls, performing arts theaters, bowling alleys, arcades, pool and billiard halls, game centers, indoor play areas, restaurants, catering halls, bars, nightclubs, cafeterias, grocery stores with indoor dining, coffee shops, and blah, 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 blah. And yet, the United Nations is getting ready to have the UN General Assembly, the same one that we read about in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Did you know that the United Nations is mentioned directly in the Old Testament? Have you ever read Zephaniah 3, 8? Zephaniah 3, 8 says, "Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations," United Nations, "that I may assemble the kingdoms," the UN General Assembly, "to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." So the United Nations, they're getting ready for their big meeting, but they are not required. It says here, the UN General Assembly will ignore vaccine requirements for attendees at next week's big meeting in New York, snubbing New York City rules for convention centers and public gatherings. And then here's a, let's see if I can grab some of the pictures for you. Well, maybe I can just grab this one picture. Talking about the hypocrisy of these world leaders. Remember a couple months ago, they met at the G7. And they all pretended to be wearing masks, and they all pretended to be social distancing until they thought that the cameras weren't rolling, until they thought that they were in private, and then they're only inches away from each other. Nobody is wearing a mask. And the only times that the masks come back on is when they want you to wear a mask. They do not feel like they need to wear a mask. Last week at the Emmys, and that's what I was telling you about my previous life as an actor in Hollywood. Last week at the Emmys, huge uproar. The Emmys were held in a relatively small meeting hall, and nobody but nobody was wearing a mask. Take a listen to this clip. I got it from a YouTube channel right before we went live this morning, called Black Conservative Media. And I just want you to listen to this guy's take on the Emmys and see what he compares it to.
All right, guys, so I feel like I mentioned this a lot, but I don't really watch movies like that, okay? I'm not a movie person. So that means I don't really know that much about Hollyweird. I'm not interested in Hollyweird all that much. But one movie I have seen is the Hunger Games. Now, I haven't seen all the sequels and the follow-up movies, but I did see the original one. And the more time that passes by, it seems like we are living in the real-life Hunger Games. Because the Hollywood elites and the Democrat establishment has made it clear that the division in our society is not from race. Okay, it's not about race. It's really about class, right? It's really about class, and they're putting that on display right in front of everybody. And really, it's something that anybody with two eyes should be able to see. It is plain and clear what is going on. Now, some people may say that if you say that we have class warfare going on in this country, they may say, hey, that's Marxism. Well, my response to that is that maybe Marx was right about some things, you know? But I promise you, I'm a capitalist. But I'm just saying, it seems to me like class warfare is what's going on here. But hey, listen, I don't mind people being rich. I don't mind people making money, right? I want to incentivize people to make as much money as they want. But what I don't like as a capitalist is when the you know, elites in our society apply special privileges for them that really don't even have anything to do with their financial status or the amount of money that they make. It's purely about just identifying who's an elite and who's not, right? It doesn't really have anything to do with their money. It's just about status. And that really bothers me. And I think that the Emmys, right, this award show, along with the Met Gala and all these other shows where you see these Hollywood celebrities gathered around each other, not wearing masks, not really following local COVID protocols or anything like that, I think it really kind of shows what's going on here, right? What's really going on? As again, the Hollywood celebrities go maskless around face covered staff. So yeah, if you look at these pictures, guys, and this was the same at the Met Gala, okay? Same at the Met Gala. You have these celebrities walking around with no mask inside, right? Some of them are inside, but their staff is masked up. Why is that? I don't understand for the life of me how that can be justified, because the argument from the left is always, well, you know, we're vaccinated and everybody tested negative for COVID, so it don't matter. Stop complaining. Shut up. It's not the same thing. Okay, so if that's the case, why is the staff masked? Why are they wearing masks? Because I'm assuming that the staff, everybody in attendance, including the staff, the peasants that are waiting hand and foot on these celebrities, I'm assuming they've tested negative and they've been vaccinated. I'm assuming that it's basically mandated for them to do so, right? So what is the point of them wearing masks? The point, guys, is that it's a status symbol. It is an easy way to differentiate between who's a somebody and who's a nobody, right? That's what it is. And they're making it plain as day that that's what's going on. It's a big club and we're not in it. And to be quite honest with you, I don't want to be a part of the club, right? I don't like Hollywood like that. I don't want to hang out with them, okay? I don't want to hang out with them. But what I do want is for them to stop trying to lecture people and to stop trying to impose mandates on other people that they're not even following themselves, right? I want them to follow their own rules or shut the hell up about what everybody else is doing with their lives. And even if they were following their own rules, they should probably still shut up, because I ain't gonna lie, they're not good marketers. They're not good marketers. Like, for example.
All right, so I think you get the point of what he was saying. And again, the name of his channel is called Black Conservative Media. And he raises a really, really good point about the hypocrisy of the liberals who have created this system, this two-part system of the haves and the have-nots. And if you are part of the elite, you can do as you wish. You don't have to wear masks. And if you are not part of the elite, then you have a completely different experience that you're going to be going through. One of the hosts or the commentators at the Emmy Awards, the 2021 Emmy Awards last week, Canadian comedian by the name of Seth Rogen. I don't think he's particularly funny. But I want you to listen to what Seth Rogen said when he got up on the stage in this, and I've already posted the pictures into the chat room, you could see how small of a of an arena that they had for the Emmy Awards and how there was a lot of people and they were jammed in really, really tight. Well, Seth Rogen, who's a hardcore liberal, he gets up and he makes this observation behind the microphone doing his little bit. Take a listen to Seth Rogen at the Emmys.
Anyway, good to be here at the Emmy Awards. Let me start by saying there is way too many of us in this little room. What are we doing? They said this was outdoors. It's not. They lied to us. We're in a hermetically sealed tent right now. I would not have come to this. Why is there a roof? It's more important that we have three chandeliers than that we make sure we don't kill Eugene Levy tonight. That is what has been decided. This is insane. I went from wiping my groceries to having Paul Bettany sneeze in my face. So, that's a big week. Anyone's going to sneeze in my face, Paul. I want it to be you. All right. That's all the jokes I wrote. Here are the nominees.
So, there you have Seth Rogen. And he's not really making a joke. If you could watch the video clip, and you can find it anywhere on YouTube, you can see the look on his face, and he's shocked. Hollywood represents the cream of the liberal mindset. The Hollywood liberal is absolutely at the top of the liberal food chain. They live in mansions, they're driven around in limousines. And I used to work with a lot of those people, and they all have personal assistants, and almost none of them do their own laundry, they don't do their own grocery shopping. Everything is done for them, and that's the type of life that they are used to living. And again, I used to live in that life. I've seen it with my own eyes. And when they choose to get together to have their award show that is televised around the world, you would think that at the very least they would pretend. At the very least they would do like what they did at the G7, that when they think the cameras are on, they social distance and they wear a mask. But the Hollywood cream of the crop liberals, the people who constantly point their finger and they tell us how to live our lives, they didn't do that. They had the, at the height of the Delta surge, which is much more deadly than the original surge was last year, they choose to have their award show in basically a sealed tent, packed to the roof with people who are literally sitting on top of each other. So, what does all that mean when we talk about the end times? Well, because what's being created is the New World Order system. And either you are in with the system and you get the benefits of the system, or you are locked out of the system and you don't get anything. Now, does that sound like any particular verse of scripture to you? If you've been attending our Bible studies for any length of time, you know that I'm talking about Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That is a system that is going to divide the entire world into two classes of people. marked and unmarked. If you are marked, if you receive the mark of the beast, you will be allowed to do what Revelation 13 says. You'll be allowed to buy and sell. And that's what people do every single day of their lives. You buy something, you sell something, you trade something. When you go to work, you are selling 40 hours of your time in exchange for whatever your salary is. Have you ever thought about it like that? If you work a job of any kind, you are selling your time to your employer. And then your employer gives you money at the end of the week. And then what do you do with that money? You go out and you pay bills, you buy food, you make your car payment, whatever it is that you do with your money. Maybe you buy gospel tracts. But you see what I mean? The entire world buys and sells. You sell your time, you buy your groceries. Well, Revelation 13, 16 through 18 says that when this mark is revealed, you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That means you're going to have no job. I want you to think about that. Remember, your job is you selling your time to your employer. And the mark of the beast will make it impossible, absolutely impossible, for you to have a job if you don't have the mark. And wait a minute, am I talking about the mark of the beast or am I talking about vaccine mandates? I think I'm getting all confused for a moment. Oh no, I'm not confused. Sure sounds like the mark of the beast, doesn't it? Now, the current vaccines, from a biblical perspective, the current vaccines are not the mark of the beast. But they have a lot in common with the mark of the beast. They absolutely do. And one of the main things that the vaccines and the vaccine mandates have in common with the mark of the beast is they allow you to buy and sell. I read stories every single day. Some high-level person just got fired because they did not want to receive the vaccine. I read these stories every single day. And this is what's going on right now. This is the struggle that we're going through right now. When they released the COVID virus 20 months ago and people began to get sick, they locked the entire world down. Remember 15 days to flatten the curve? Well, 15 days to flatten the curve has now turned into 20 months to flatten the curve. And the vaccines are not flattening the curve. And the number one nation on the face of the earth that has vaccinated the highest number of their citizens is also, and coincidentally, the number one nation on the face of the earth with mild to severe COVID cases. Now, who would I be talking about? Well, I'd be talking about the nation of Israel, of course. The nation of Israel has a close to 90% vaccination rate. And for the past 6 weeks, the nation of Israel has had more COVID cases per capita than any other nation on the face of the earth. Does that tell you that Giacomino was asking a question? So will the mark of the beast be clear to believers? Well, that's a really good question. If you mean by believers, born-again Christians, we will not be here. The pre-tribulation rapture is going to remove us. So, if you're talking about the believers that the Bible refers to as the tribulation saints, will that mark be clear to believers? The answer is absolutely yes. And the way that that's going to be clear is when you read Revelation chapter 7, and it talks about the 144,000 that are sealed in their foreheads by the mark of God, and those people begin to evangelize around the world. I believe that the mark of the beast will be very, very clear to believers in the time of Jacob's trouble. But just remember one thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 shows you that when the rapture takes place, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a second. Giacomino has asked a really good question. Will the mark of the beast be clear to believers? Now, we know that the Bible teaches us that the church, the born-again church, is going to be removed. And then after we're taken out, the beginning of the start of the time of Jacob's trouble will commence. But there is something that is between the rapture and the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. It is something that 2 Thessalonians 2:11 calls the strong delusion. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you're going to have the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. It's going to remove all the believers. And then the very next thing that takes place is something called the strong delusion. And on the heels of the strong delusion, you have the start of the time of Jacob's trouble and the opening of the first seal from Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And the strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to believe it for a short period of time. And then the Antichrist is going to deceive people. And then at some point, he's going to roll out his mark. Now, everybody who's affected by the strong delusion are absolutely prime candidates to take the mark of the beast because they will not know the difference. The Bible will become a closed book 1 minute after the rapture. The Apostle Paul says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. A lost person doesn't understand the mark of the beast. A lost person doesn't know the difference between the mark of the beast and the COVID-19 vaccine. And by the time that Antichrist comes on the scene, you're going to have the entire world who has already been mentally prepared to take an injection from their government. You see, that's what's happening right now. That's the deception that's going on right now. All over the entire world, people are being mentally conditioned to believe that you cannot be safe without an injection from the government. And they are shutting down people who speak against it. They are turning you off if you tell people that the vaccine is bad or you should really think and pray before you take it. And they're not allowing people to discuss it. We're living in a time where we are highly being censored. Now, the vaccine. Today is September 20th, 12:40 in the afternoon, 2021. As of right now, I do not see any indication that the COVID-19 vaccine is the mark of the beast. And if you take that vaccine, well, you may get a blood clot, you may get a heart attack, you may lose your baby if you're pregnant. There's a lot of bad things that could happen to you, or maybe nothing will happen to you. But you have to understand what the mark of the beast is. The mark of the beast is the ultimate injection from the government of Antichrist. So do you see the direction that the whole world is being pulled into right now? Cheryl H. is asking, isn't the mark of the beast a sign of worship as well? It absolutely is. And when the Antichrist comes on the scene, they are going to worship him, thinking that he is the Messiah. Nobody is going to think that the Antichrist is the Antichrist. Nobody. And that is what the strong delusion is. That Antichrist is Jesus Christ. I wrote an article a number of years ago, back in 2017, and I gave it this headline. If Satan is as great as he thinks he is, then why does he have to pretend to be Jesus Christ in the time of Jacob's trouble? If Satan is as great as he thinks he is, then why does he have to pretend to be Jesus Christ during the time of Jacob's trouble? That's a really good question, don't you think? And that's what tells you 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you have to understand that right now the entire world is being mentally conditioned that they cannot be safe without an injection from the government. And Revelation 13 shows you that the mark of the beast is something that will be injected in your body, and you will receive it from the government of Antichrist. And if you're saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not saved, what I just said makes no sense to you at all. But that's what the Bible teaches. Revelation 13 shows you that under the government of Antichrist, when people receive his mark, it is injected into your body. It is an injection from the government that allows you to continue to live your life. Well, what is COVID-19? What is a vaccination passport? But an injection and approval from the government that allows you to live your life. Now, if you're saved, what I just told you is gospel truth. If you don't understand what I just said, it's highly likely you're not saved. Because if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know that I'm telling you the truth right now. Here's a man who does not tell the truth about the mark of the beast.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this, so probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think...
You better think long and hard, Johnny boy. What does the Bible say about that question that you just asked? If you find yourself in the time of the mark of the beast and you take it, will you be able to be redeemed? And John MacArthur says...
I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Uh-oh. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation.
All right. John MacArthur just told you that if you find yourself in the time of the mark of the beast, the actual mark of the beast, and you take it, John MacArthur said, you really don't have to worry. God will forgive you. I guess John MacArthur's never been to Revelation 14, starting in verse 9. Revelation 14, 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead, or in, it's injected, in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is, poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke, are you listening, John MacArthur? And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. John MacArthur is lying to you. Do not take the mark of the beast. There is no coming back from it. There is no forgiveness for the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, you are committing blasphemy against the God of Israel, because you are worshiping the devil. Revelation 14 and Revelation chapter 20 shows you crystal clear, beyond the shadow of any doubt or interpretation. You don't have to go to the Greek. You don't have to go to the Hebrew. The Bible says that if you take the mark of the beast, you are done. You are finished. You can never undo it. God will never forgive it. Now, I understand that John MacArthur's been around for a long time, and he's much smarter than I am, and he has all these degrees and has all these certifications, and he's been ordained. And compared to all that, I have nothing to offer except for King James Bible truth. That's the only thing I have on my side. I've never been to seminary school. I've never been ordained. Now the End Begins has never been supported by any church I ever attended. Not one time, not ever. Compared to John MacArthur, I really don't know much at all. Except for the fact that I have a King James 1611 Authorized Version Holy Bible that tells me that the mark of the beast goes inside your body. If you have an NIV or an ASV or an ESV, that book tells you that the mark of the beast goes on the back of your right hand. Why does it say that? So you don't understand that the mark of the beast is something that is injected inside your body. That's why the NIV and the ASV and the ESV and hundreds of other of these Bible versions Why do you think that they have all removed the fact that the mark of the beast goes inside the back of your hand? So that when we reach a time in human history where the entire world is being injected with the vaccine and there's no options, that you're not going to think it's the mark of the beast because your Bible says, no, wait a second. My Bible says the mark of the beast goes on the back of my right hand. That can't be the vaccine. Mike Hensel is asking, what about the people who are scared into taking the jab? Oh, people that are scared into taking the mark of the beast. I don't think that hardly any people are going to be scared into taking the mark of the beast. I think the only people who will have a little bit of fear are the people who know exactly what the mark of the beast is, and they are praying to God to give them grace to be executed. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Mike Hensel just asked a good question. What about the people who are scared into taking the mark of the beast? Take a look, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Why are the souls under the altar? Well, because they're tribulation saints. They are not part of the church. So when they die and they go to heaven, they have their own place. This is why this shows you clearly dispensational differences. And these souls are under the altar because they are held for the testimony that they have about Jesus Christ, and they do not want to take the mark of the beast. And they're not going to take the mark of the beast, and they don't take the mark of the beast, and they die. Now turn to Revelation chapter 20, and I'll show you a little bit more meat on those bones. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Do you see what happens to the people in the time of the Great Tribulation? When they understand what the mark of the beast is, they are willing to be decapitated rather than taking the mark of the beast. I want you to think about that. Now, there's a little bit of a controversy into the chat room. Somebody is saying that another thing that John MacArthur has taught is that Jesus didn't need to shed his blood. He could have been strangled. He could have been shot. He could have been whatever. And Hal in the chat room is asking, did John MacArthur really say that? Yes, he did. He said it a while ago. So you would have to do an update to see if he's changed his position. But about 30 years ago, John MacArthur said that Jesus Christ did not need to shed his blood. I don't have time to pull that up right now. We can talk about that in the Bible study on Wednesday night. And I don't know if MacArthur has changed that position. That's kind of an old position. But did he at one time say that? Yes, he absolutely, no question about it, he absolutely did. He said that the blood of Jesus Christ did not need to be shed. John MacArthur, if you follow him, at least half of everything that he teaches you will be wrong. So, if you follow John MacArthur, I don't know what to say. He has a lot of bad teaching. He has a lot of false teaching about the mark of the beast. And what was interesting about that is that clip that I play of John MacArthur saying that, that clip is actually 8 years old. And so what I did last year, I wanted to do an update. And I called John MacArthur's office and I spoke with his secretary. And I asked her, we had a very short but very pleasant phone call, and she told me that Pastor MacArthur has not changed his position. And that was a phone call that I had. Here it is. I did the article on February 18th of 2020. So it's almost a year and a half ago. And let me just read one paragraph from this article for you. And I'm going to put the link into the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and type John MacArthur into the search box, and this article will come right up. And I wrote this. I just got off the phone with a woman named Melina at Grace to You Ministries, and I asked her about the article entitled Unforgivable and inquired if perhaps that John MacArthur had had a change of heart. She cheerfully and quickly responded with, no, he has not. There is no update to that article or to his position. And there you have it. John MacArthur says that someone in the Great Tribulation can take the mark, ask God for forgiveness, and still go to heaven. And that was verified for me last year in February of 2020 by John MacArthur's personal secretary, a woman by the name of Melina. And she knew exactly why I was calling. She knew exactly what I was asking. And she said no. So MacArthur has not updated his false position on the mark of the beast, and I'm probably guessing that he has not updated his false position on the shed blood of Jesus Christ either. All right. Let's take a listen to this clip. You remember 2 weeks ago we told you that Joe Rogan, one of the world's most listened to podcasters. And Joe Rogan, he tested positive for COVID. And he took ivermectin. He took monoclonal antibodies. He took vitamins. And in 3 days, he tested negative. He only had one really bad day. And the entire mainstream media wrote things about him that were completely untrue. And not one single mainstream media outlet, not one single medical outlet, not one single mainstream doctor, nobody from the FDA, nobody from the CDC, nobody from the National Institutes of Health, nobody asked, hey, what did Joe Rogan do? And maybe other people should do that. And that's something that nobody stopped to realize 2 weeks ago. Nobody in the mainstream media wanted to know how Joe Rogan was able to beat COVID in 72 hours. And he's not vaccinated. They don't care how he beat COVID. Because the way that Joe Rogan beat COVID is not the party line. So, they don't want you doing what Joe Rogan did, even if you have to die, because they don't want you taking any medicine that does not come from them. It is not about the cure. It is about the vaccine. Now, people who have been double vaccinated die from COVID all the time. People who have been double vaccinated are seriously hospitalized with COVID all the time. But nobody seemed to care that Joe Rogan was able to beat COVID in 72 hours. Take a listen to this. Joe Rogan beats COVID quickly. The establishment is outraged.
Okay, our guest today is the founder and director of the ECA Wellness Center of Rhode Island. He's conducting medical research on COVID long haulers syndrome, and he's part of a group treating over 5,000 patients with long hauler symptoms. I'm part of that clinical research. Pleased to have his expertise. He is Dr. Ram Yogendra, also known as Dr. Yo. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on. Really excited. Thank you.
Well, here's Joe Rogan. So he got sick, and here's what he said.
Hello, friends. So I got back from the road Saturday night, feeling very weary. I had a headache, and I just felt just run down. And just to be cautious, I separated from my family, slept in a different part of the house, and throughout the night, I got fevers and sweats, and I knew what was going on. So I got up in the morning, got tested, and it turns out I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it. All kinds of meds, monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, everything. And I also got an NAD drip and a vitamin drip, and I did that 3 days in a row. And so here we are on Wednesday, and I feel great. I really only had one bad day. Sunday sucked, but Monday was better. Tuesday felt better than Monday, and today I feel good. I actually feel pretty fucking good. That's the good news.
So that's what his story, and then the media went on to say that he's tested positive for COVID and that he's taking an animal medicine, a deworming drug, an unapproved deworming drug.
So there you have Joe Rogan, and I apologize for the F-bomb. I didn't catch that when I first listened to it. So please forgive me for that. I do my very, very best to clean up the clips before I play them. Anyway, Joe Rogan was able to beat COVID in 72 hours. He used monoclonal antibodies. He used ivermectin. He used vitamins. He used amino acids. And he used a Z-Pak, which is an antibiotic. And he took the Z-Pak so he wouldn't get pneumonia. Now, how come absolutely nobody said, wait a second, stop the presses. Joe Rogan, the world's most popular podcaster, he just came down with COVID. He's not vaccinated. He was fully recovered in 72 hours. How come nobody asked those questions? Now, before you answer that, here's an article today from LifeSite News with a very interesting headline. LifeSite News says this: medical associations back the stripping of licenses from doctors who warn against the COVID-19 jab. The American Board of Pediatrics, the American Board of Family Medicine, and the American Board of Internal Medicine support the Federation of State Medical Boards' decisions that all boards should revoke or suspend the license and certification of doctors who question the safety of the experimental COVID-19 vaccines. Now, nobody is asking on any of those very prestigious sounding groups that I just mentioned. Nobody is asking, how did Joe Rogan beat COVID in 72 hours? They don't care. They don't want to know. They don't want to investigate it. They have no curiosity of any kind. And then those same people who don't care how Joe Rogan beat COVID in 72 hours without using a vaccine, those same people are now saying that any doctor who speaks against the vaccine should have their medical license to practice stripped away from them. Are you starting to see that all this is not about a vaccine? Are you starting to see that all of this is about that two-party system that we talked about, with that great gulf between the two parties? Are you starting to see that what is being put in place right now, if you are vaccinated, you are a good person. If you are unvaccinated, you are a bad person. If you are vaccinated, you can go out to public places like restaurants and go food shopping. If you are unvaccinated, you will not be allowed in these places. This is the system that they're creating right now. And this system is going to reach its fulfillment after the rapture, when the man of sin becomes the son of perdition. And this two-party system is going to be fully realized if you take the injection from the government, which is going to be the mark of the beast after the rapture. If you take the injection from the government, you can buy and sell. If you don't take the injection from the government, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. You can't work, you can't eat. You can't do anything. And this is what they are mentally preparing people for. Don't forget that the rapture is very, very close. So the vast majority of everybody living on this earth right now who missed the rapture are going to be exposed to this system under Antichrist. And when Antichrist comes, they will have already been mentally prepared that they are not allowed to live their life without an injection from the government. Yes, it starts out as a vaccine, but that's not where it ends up. Because they're not really giving you a vaccine. What they're doing is they're giving you mental conditioning that you cannot be safe without an injection from the government. You can't live your life without an injection from the government. Today it's a vaccine. Tomorrow it will be the mark of the beast. But the principle will remain constant. Take a listen to this. Religious exemptions from COVID-19 vaccine mandates are growing.
Arizona has become the first state to file a lawsuit against the Biden administration for its COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Last week, President Biden announced large companies must require their employees to be vaccinated or be tested for the virus regularly. The plan will affect as many as 100 million Americans. But some employees can challenge this vaccine mandate if they have a religious exemption or a disability. MoneyWatch reporter Megan Cerullo writes about this on CBSNews.com, and she joins me now to discuss what counts for an exemption. Megan, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act allows employees to refuse the vaccine over sincerely held religious beliefs. Tell us what this means exactly.
Correct. Employees can request accommodations on religious grounds, and it's a little bit murky. No major religious denomination in the U.S. opposes vaccination outright, but beliefs, practices, observances that with which an employer might not be familiar are still protected. So it's incumbent upon an employer to evaluate each of these requests on a case-by-case basis.
So how do employers verify the legitimacy of a religious exemption, and how does somebody who's trying to claim one provide proof of their religious exemption?
Employees seeking exemptions from vaccine mandates based on religious grounds can submit these requests in writing. They're encouraged but not required to seek a letter from a religious leader, a pastor, for example, who can detail and verify and attest that vaccination does indeed conflict with their religious beliefs. That doesn't mean that the employer is required to or will necessarily accept the request. Other supporting documentation,
and obviously,
like articles, pamphlets, can also help bolster an employee's case.
Okay. But obviously, these religious exemptions.
All right, so there you have it. Everybody's talking about religious exemptions. But I did an article just a couple of days ago where I asked a question. Is it possible that they are going to use the COVID-19 vaccine religious exemption to make it easier to identify the body of Christ when it comes time to put people into the COVID concentration camps? And I had some people who pushed back against that. There's actually some people who believe that the church will not suffer any persecution before the rapture. And that's a very American idea. It's just not a biblical idea. The entire 2,000-year history of the Christian church is fraught and filled with Christians being burned at the stake and killed on the torture rack and shot and stabbed and brutally beaten and raped and murdered. Take a look at that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. We sell it at the bookstore. You can get it at www.biblebeliever.com. And Fox's Book of Martyrs will show you that for 300 years, millions of Christians were burned at the stake because they were Christians, because they believed the Bible. And so I just asked a question last week. Is it possible that the religious exemptions are going to be used to know who to round up? I don't know. I was just asking a question. But to me, it seems pretty obvious. It seems pretty much of a slam dunk. You know, why do you think Adolf Hitler put the yellow stars on all the Jewish people? Because he was planning on rounding them up. Because he was planning on putting them in ghettos. And then he was planning on putting them in concentration camps. But the first thing you have to do is you have to identify who it is that you want to round up. And this very much appears to be the direction that everything is going in here in the 21st century. We've told you for a long time that the vaccine was not made for the virus. The virus was made for the vaccine. We told you a long time ago, the vaccine was not made for the virus, but the virus was made for the vaccine. That's kind of a revelation, isn't it? But that's how it went. We did an article a couple of months ago that shows you, and let's see if I can find the article. I was going to play a clip by Rand Paul, but wait a second here. We showed you an article that Moderna actually had a COVID-19 specific vaccine candidate ready by October of 2019. And I don't know if I can put my finger right on that immediately. But you know what? Let me play the clip by Rand Paul. And let me see if I can find this article. Moderna had already completed a vaccine candidate before the first COVID case was ever recorded in America. Let's take a listen to Rand Paul calling Anthony Fauci a liar.
Dr. Fauci, we don't know whether the pandemic started in a lab in Wuhan or evolved naturally, but we should want to know. 3 million people have died from this pandemic, and that should cause us to explore all possibilities. Instead, government authorities, self-interested in continuing gain-of-function research, say there's nothing to see here. Gain-of-function research, as you know, is juicing up naturally occurring animal viruses to infect humans. To arrive at the truth, the U.S. government should admit that the Wuhan Virology Institute was experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans. Juicing up superviruses is not new. Scientists in the U.S. have long known how to mutate animal viruses to infect humans. For years, Dr. Ralph Barrick, a virologist in the U.S., has been collaborating with Dr. Shi Zhengli of the Wuhan Virology Institute.
All right, so I just put the link into the chat room. Did Moderna have a COVID-19 vaccine in 2019? And it sure looks like they did. Shayla Clark is asking, what about pure blood? And I'm starting to run out of time here on the podcast. We really went pretty deep with the similarities between the COVID-19 vaccine and the Mark of the Beast. Today's podcast was really more like a Bible study, to which I say amen. Amen. And I hope that what we've been saying today is going to cause you to investigate that a little bit more deeply. But I want you to take a listen to this this clip from Anthony Fauci when somebody was asking him about the AIDS epidemic. Take a listen to what Fauci said.
AIDS, I remember when it first got in the news, heavily in the news here in this country, and it seemed to me that the disease itself became highly political. It was not treated as other sexually transmitted diseases, such as syphilis, for example, in which people had to take blood tests before marriage so that the syphilis disease would not be spread. I would like to know how we can control the behavior of people in foreign countries when we can't control the behavior in our own country.
Yeah, I think he used an important word that really illustrates the difficulty of the problem. You can't control people's behavior, but what you can do is you can educate and you can try to modify behavior. Our experience tells us very clearly that the only way that you can do that effectively is to create an environment in which you don't force people who are the subjects or the targets of your education and behavioral modification, if you force them underground. If you make your education in an environment of oppressiveness, you're not going to get to the people that you need to get to. You've got to create a situation where people understand that they're not going to be stigmatized, that they're not going to lose their human rights when they find out that they're infected, that you're going to do something to help them. You see more and more people coming in, getting the education, and ultimately modifying their behavior. We have already seen that in spades in this country, and that's the environment that we are suggesting to our colleagues overseas to do. Because in some of the developing nations that you're referring to...
All right, so there you have Anthony Fauci talking about the AIDS epidemic. And you've heard me say multiple times on this program that the advice that Anthony Fauci gave America's doctors in the 1980s about how to treat HIV/AIDS killed a 250,000 people. Anthony Fauci back in the 1980s was pushing a drug called AZT, and he was pushing it at very high levels. And my brother was one of the 250,000 people that died from liver failure from the FDA-approved drug that Anthony Fauci was pushing. And there were a lot of billionaires that were created back in those days, just like there's a lot of billionaires that are being created in our day. But Anthony Fauci was saying that you can't control people's thoughts. You can't tell them what to do. And that's the exact opposite of what they're saying right now. All right, so what is this thing about pure blood? Where did we get that from? Well, if you go to Twitter and you go into the search box and put in a hashtag called pure blood, you're going to get a lot of different results. And the variety and the majority of the results that you get when you do a search on pure blood on Twitter, it's a group of people who call themselves the unvaccinated. And they use the hashtag pure blood. And they use the symbol of the all-seeing eye of Horus in an Egyptian triangle. That's the pure blood people. Now, when I look at that, I see right away that those people are not Christians, those people are not patriots. It is highly likely that the pure blood movement is related to Q. And you know how I feel about Q. Q is an end times deception. Do not be fooled by it. Everything that they told you about Donald Trump was not true. If I had a guess, I would say that Q is a psyop from the CIA, because they act like a psyop from the CIA. And I've never been fooled by the Q movement for one single second. And I've lost some friendships because I have spoken out very heavily against the Q movement, QAnon. These people are not Christians. These people are not premillennial. They are not pre-tribulational. The Q movement believes in a godless utopia where they themselves are going to bring in the kingdom. That's what Q actually believes. So when I look at the pure blood movement, to me, that kind of looks like Q. And it is absolutely, Q is definitely part of the end times deception. And they pulled away a whole lot of people who said that they were Christians. I used to have Christian friends who won't even speak to me any longer, because I dared to try to tell them the truth about how they were being deceived. You know what Mark Twain said? Mark Twain said, it's a whole lot easier to fool people than it is to show them that they're being fooled. Mark Twain said that it's a whole lot easier just to fool people than it is to prove to them that they're being fooled. Now, one more thought about the pure blood movement. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. The devil, in Isaiah 14, he shook his fist at God, and Lucifer told God that I will ascend up to the sides of the north, I will be like the Most High. And Lucifer threw down the gauntlet of challenge at Almighty God, and Lucifer said, I'm going to take what you have. Well, now, what's one of the most precious things that God has? His shed blood. The blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that is so very precious. Hundreds of hymns have been written about the shed blood. We sing that song, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. And we shout it at the top of our voice because we're so glad and so grateful for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But that's something that the devil wants to corrupt if he can. Look at Revelation chapter 16, talking about the blood in the Great Tribulation. Revelation 16, starting in verse 1 through verse 6. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the waters and fountains of waters and rivers, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. And I said all that to say this, Revelation 16:6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. If you're a born-again Christian, you were redeemed by shed blood. Blood is going to be shed as judgment, not as payment, but the blood of all the followers of Antichrist is going to be shed. Revelation 16:6 says, thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. When I look at the pure blood people, this is the category I put them in. Just because they're vaccinated, they're unvaccinated and I'm unvaccinated, doesn't mean we have anything else in common. Stay away from QAnon. Stay away from the pure blood people. Stick with your King James Bible. Spend your time going out into the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. Witness, hand out gospel tracts. Bring people to Bible study. Bring people to church. Give lost people the King James Bible. That's what we're trying to do on a global level. Don't get sucked into these little deceitful side groups whose only purpose is to try to stop you from being effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let that happen. And I don't care if I lose 1,000 friends because I tell the truth about QAnon, because I tell the truth about Trump. I've always told you the truth about Trump. John Cougar Mellencamp said, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. That's pretty good wisdom from a lost person. I didn't even have time to tell you that Israel is stepping up COVID-19 self-isolation enforcement with a GPS tracking system. But I'll report on that later. Israel is rolling out a GPS tracking system. The whole world is going to hell. But before it does, you and I are getting out of here in a little event known as the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Well, I thank you for tuning in today. I thank you for being part of this broadcast as always. And I want you to spend the time that we have to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Witness to lost people. Go out and tell a lost person that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. Do something that will last for all eternity. Don't get sucked into these endless end times deceptions. There is one place where you can find absolute truth, and that's within the pages of your King James Bible. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for part 3 in our ongoing series on the doctrines of grace. And speaking of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, enjoy.